Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, by the power of His Holy Spirit, who calls us to faith in Christ and keeps us there safe even unto His return. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be with you again today as we spend time together in God's Word, taking a look at Mark chapter 9. And if you want, at some point this week, I encourage you to go to Matthew chapter 17 and Luke chapter 9, and you will find a very similar episode that is recorded in those Gospels in a little bit different context, and yet very similar, in that Jesus wants to give, what I'm going to say, He wants to give His disciples some perspective. Some perspective. Because they've been going through a lot. They've been taking in a lot of information, and they need to have some perspective. And really, if you've been a part of one of the small group studies, or you've been keeping up on the readings, or if you've been spending time looking at the videos under the Epic of Eden, the whole purpose of that study, the whole purpose of this congregation coming around the Word of God and the teaching to get some perspective on the Old Testament so that we get a greater perspective on the New Testament and the message of God's salvation and redemption and hope that we have in the person of Jesus Christ. We need some perspective. We need some perspective. In fact, if you were listening in on the Old Testament reading, which, Dwayne, thank you so much for reading that, the Old Testament reading about Abraham and Terah and, yeah, you're kind of going, and then I'm thinking, while he's reading, I'm thinking, right? I was listening to the Word of God from you, okay? But I was also thinking, holy smokes. Holy smokes. You know, Jesus, in John's Gospel, he's talking to the Pharisees, you know, and he said, you know, the Son of Man came to set people free, that you may be free indeed. The Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, said, we are Abraham's children and have never been enslaved to anyone. And I'm going, man, like you forgot about the 400 years in Egypt. We are Abraham's offspring. And Jesus' response is, before Abraham was, I am. Well, what's that all about? If you know the backstory, if you have that perspective, there's a richness and a greater understanding of what Jesus is saying, and you'll understand why they said, you know, it's maybe better for one to die for the nation than for all the nation to die. And Jesus goes to the cross. We need perspective. Jesus' followers often lose perspective on the big picture of God's saving work for us, in us and through us. This in and of itself, our loss of perspective in and of itself is not sin. But it grows out of our sinful nature, and it can lead to our greater misunderstanding and discarding of the truth, and can lead to sin. However, God is faithful, and He takes us to places like the Mount of Transfiguration with those disciples in our text, so we can, with the Holy Spirit's power, get a new or renewed perspective in Jesus our Savior. Well, as Tristan said, today is a special day. I asked my wife earlier this week, I said, you know, I wonder which is going to get greater play, Transfiguration Sunday, the Super Bowl, or Taylor Swift? Just asking the question. And then we're driving yesterday, and she gets a little text from one of her friends up in the UP, Usher, and the text from Sue says, literally it said this, with all that's going on in the world, and my mind goes, okay, with all that's going on in the world, Ukraine, Gaza, politics in our own nation, you know, and you want to ask that good Lutheran question, what does this mean? I don't know what this means. It means that we need to trust Jesus a whole lot, okay? But she says, with all that's going on in the world, ... I am so thankful Taylor Swift can make it to the Super Bowl. Do we need some perspective? I'm thinking, right? I mean, she is, you know, tongue-in-cheek so hard. I mean, Sue is a beautiful lady. So she's fine. And then I get this. You know, you've probably heard some of these. This Wednesday is what? It's Ash Wednesday. And some of you are thinking, no, it's not Ash Wednesday. It's Valentine's Day. Okay. Do we need some perspective? Love is, they ask a bunch of little kids what love means, you know. And love is what's in the room. If you are at Christmas, if you stop opening presents and just listen. That's Bobby, age 7. Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they've known each other so well. That's probably one of the closest ones, okay? During a piano recital, I was on stage and I was scared. I looked at all the people watching me and saw my daddy waving and smiling. He was the only one doing that. I wasn't scared anymore. There's this one about, this is gold. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on cologne and they get together and they smell each other. Do you think maybe we need a little perspective? So we need perspective, and Jesus provides that for these disciples. And as we walk through this time and space, it gives us perspective to engage with the Old Testament, therefore better understand and appreciate and apply the good news of the New Testament into our lives and how God has always been at work to provide for us. So Jesus takes his disciples, Peter, James, and John, up on a high mountain. And he is transfigured. And I always thought, you know, one of these points, I'm gonna do a real deep dive on that word transfiguration. And you know what it means? It means to be transfigured. Your figure is changed. And not you know, he went from a 34 waist to a 42 waist or something. No, his figure, he was transformed, he was changed, he became glistening white, or white as any fuller could make them. But what we need is perspective. Sometimes we need perspective because we're just tired. You ever lose it when you're tired? If you just kind of like take a break, you can gain some perspective. I mean, these disciples have been running around. If you read the chapter 8 before this, which oddly enough, chapter 8 comes just before chapter 9 in Mark's gospel. And if you read that, Jesus has been dragging them around from Tyre and Sidon, which is over on the west coast. And he's been over Muskegon, you know. He's been up in Traverse City. He's been down to Grand Rapids. And now he's over here in Port Huron. And he's just been taking them all over the place. They're tired. Following Jesus can be exhausting. Even those who are very committed and empowered by the Holy Spirit, we want to do His will. We want to follow Him. We want to serve Him. We want to be His witnesses. We want to learn of Him. And we can get tired and we lose perspective and we focus on how tired we are and our reactions become very earthly, very fleshly. Sometimes we are confused. And therefore, we become overwhelmed or fearful. Jesus has been asking them, so the feeding of the 4,000 in chapter 8, he's healed the blind man in Bethesda. He warns them against the yeast of the Pharisees. And then he asked them, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, one of the other prophets, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And they give a good testimony. They say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then strips gears, and Jesus says, it is necessary for the Son of Man, moi, to suffer and die at the hands of sinful men, to be hung on a cross. That's not what we were planning, Jesus. We thought maybe something else was going to happen. But then Jesus says, whoever would come after me must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. They're confused. They're exhausted. They're confused. They become overwhelmed. You too must take up your cross. Jesus predicts his own death. We can lose perspective. And then you know the rest of the story. Sometimes we feel powerless and inadequate and we just start yapping. So he goes up on the mountain with the disciples. There's Moses and Elijah. I'm wondering how they knew that it was Moses and Elijah. We're going to let that go because it's okay. And Moses and Elijah are there. And Peter just starts yakking. He says, it's good for us to be here. Let's build a couple of booths. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And that's just going to be neat. Because he was fearful and didn't know what to say. Have you ever been in that position where you've lost all perspective, don't know what to say, so you just start talking? Not a great plan. Not always sinful, just not a great plan. So we feel powerless. And then later, his disciples come down off the mountain, and this evil spirit in chapter 9, the evil spirit can't be cast out of this boy. And they said, Jesus, what happened here? So Jesus cast the evil spirit out, and then they start arguing about who's the greatest in the kingdom. So when you feel powerless and you feel anxious and you feel like you're out of control, you become self-conscious and position conscious, and you begin to be domineering. All those things are symbols and signs of being out of perspective. And so the transfiguration, as we go into the season of Lent, is so, so, so important to have perspective. We're given new and renewed perspective on the mountaintop with Jesus. First of all, in Jesus, God reveals his promise and his purpose. Moses and Elijah show up. The great, the lawgiver and the prophet, the law and the prophets are fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The law is perfectly kept by Jesus. The promises of the prophet that I'm going to deliver you and bring you back into my family, I'm going to pay the ransom price, are all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. God reveals his plan and his patience. God has been at this for a while. He's been at this for a while, for generation after generation, and failure after failure of his people, not of him, but of his people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, began already back with Adam and Eve. God consistently chasing after his people to redeem them. His patient plan now coming to fruition and fulfillment in Jesus Christ. All the history of God's people are wrapped up in Moses and Elijah and this, right into Jesus. The person and work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And finally, God reveals his person. His person. Let me take you to a section of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 1. And if you want to memorize a section of Scripture that will really, really help you appreciate all of Scripture and how it's tied up in Jesus, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, like Elijah. At many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. He's the signet ring, if you will. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's the whole package. All the law, all the prophets, all of God's promises, Paul says, are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. very Son of God. So God wants to give us perspective. I have a friend who was a pastor on the West Coast for a while, and he had t-shirts made up for his entire congregation. It just said, "I am" on the front, dot, dot, dot. And on the back it said, "Not God." Can we have that perspective? I am not God. But you are. You are God as we worship Him. You are God. God, I call on You. You've shown Your perfect will for us in Your Son, Jesus Christ. You provided redemption price for us. We are back to being Your children. You are the Father. And as we walk into this Lenten season, let's not be short-sighted and lose perspective. Because Jesus went to another mountain. He went to the mountain of Calvary. And that's where we get our greatest perspective, isn't it? We go to the mountain of Calvary, and there it's level ground for us. No one greater, no one less, but Jesus. And there the blood is shed for us and forgiveness purchased for us as His body is given. And we receive forgiveness. We're brought back into relationship with God. And as He rose again from the dead, He will come again in glory. And we might be where He is always. May the Lord give you perspective. Perspective as you stand before the cross, as you leave this Mount of Transfiguration, go into the valley, live your life. It's difficult sometimes, it's joyful sometimes, but keeping everything in perspective that all is to the glory of God. God wants to keep you close to Him. And then on the Mount of Calvary, may you know that your sins are forgiven. Your life has been redeemed. You are destined for eternity. May all things in your life have that perspective. Amen? Amen. Please stand and join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You that we too can claim the name of Jesus. We too can claim the name of being children of God because we've been purchased and brought back into Your family through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to have that perspective as we see Your plan and Your purpose and Your love for us and for all mankind fulfilled in the person of Your Son, Jesus. The Word of God made flesh, who dwelt among us full of grace and truth. Help us to see that and to live our lives with that perspective. And we're not in control of anything. And we can be exhausted. We can be confused. We can be fearful. We can be anxious about our position. And yet, Father, in You, we can find perspective, knowing that we're loved. And so we confess that. We acknowledge that today. And we thank You, Holy Spirit, that You confirm that in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.